I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for November 4th, 2019 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Husman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist this evening. Welcome to all of you. Looks like we have a number of students in the back. Are you Notre Dame Academy students? Welcome to all of you. I think I recognize a few of the faces back there. As always, feel free to raise your hands or anybody else when we come to a point in the agenda and you'd like to make a comment or ask a question. I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Westfall.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item 3 is additions to the agenda, and I have a couple to make. First, as item 4A, we will do a Funnigan's update. We'll have the Law Director update us on the status of that nuisance. I would also like to add, as the last item on the agenda, whatever number that turns out to be, an executive session for the discussion of potential litigation. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Frye?
I was, wanted to potentially discuss the setting of a special council meeting after the meeting on Wednesday evening regarding the 911 consolidation.
Let's add that down as 9C. It's in the Safety Committee right now, so let's have a discussion about that. And we'll talk about a special council meeting at that time. Is that all right?
Absolutely, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of council? Seeing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sanford, for organizing that wonderful program this evening at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded, that makes the executive session item number 11. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda stands approved as amended. Agenda item 4 is approving the meeting minutes from our meeting on October 21st. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the meeting minutes from the Sylvania City Council meeting held on October 21st, 2019 as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes as submitted of our meeting on October 21st, 2019. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Added agenda item 4A, a Funnigan's update. I know the Law Director was out today talking with their attorney. We have representatives of the neighbors here tonight. Mrs. Brining, please give us your update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The zoning administrator and I did meet with both Mr. Swearingen's and their attorney, Margaret Beck, to discuss a proposed resolution of the issue, which would bring them into compliance with their conditional use permit, which, as we discovered, was that they have to maintain all of the paintballs on their property. The zoning administrator's proposed resolution includes installing a 35-foot-high fence across the back and 40 feet up each side, which is the paintball course most closest to Mrs. Meadows' house. We met with them for an hour and a half and asked them to get back to us as soon as possible. In the meantime, we are proceeding with filing the criminal charges in our Sylvania Municipal Court. That process, if it's not an emergency, that is that nobody has been arrested. That process does take, or can take, like up to a week or so. And I know that our zoning administrator has been speaking with one of the prosecutors there to get that, to complete that process and get those charges filed. That would be for the three reports that Mrs. Meadows has filed, one from the weekend of October 21st and two from the weekend of October 28th. I apologize, I was out of the office most of the day today and didn't have a chance to touch base with our chief of police, but if there were reports filed over the weekend, we will get those, and Mr. Burns will bring those over tomorrow. So we're proceeding on the criminal side and also working towards the ultimate resolution, which is to get them into compliance with their conditional use permit. The temporary restraining order was not filed last week. I did receive the affidavits a week ago, Friday. Mr. Swearingen had surgery last week, the court wasn't going to schedule a hearing with one of the owners not being able to participate in it.
You did meet with Mr. Swearingen today?
Yes, yes. Both he and his son.
What is your schedule to proceed with the temporary restraining order?
I can move forward with filing that this week, yeah.
I think we need to do that.
Yep.
All right, with that update, yes, ma'am. Come on up, tell us who you are again, and you may make your comments.
Now it's been 2.5 years. Nothing has changed. Last January, we had a meeting with Ms. Bryan and a couple others sitting here. And when it became part of Sylvania, we were told from the police chief that we were supposed to, you know, file a report, try to clean it up so that when they come back out for a new report, they can tell what's new, what's old, the whole thing. We did what we were supposed to. From January to July, absolutely nothing changed. We got no updates. We would ask the officers when they came out. They had no updates. It wasn't until I called the console number back in July when finally something started getting moved. And now you're saying again, nothing's been filed. It's been an ongoing thing. When is it going to stop? We feel it should be closed down as of right now, yesterday. They've had opportunity. He is not an easy person to get along with. He has, you know, gets on TV and says, we need to step up and show some responsibility and help pay for this. Why is it our responsibility to help pay for his business? This is what we've been dealing with. And it's time it stops. This has been since 2008, and, you know, from 2008 to 2015, those that were going to be left. So what? You know, if you wanted to shoot paint, nobody cared. But yes, once they started building those homes, that apparently is when it was readdressed in 2015. And you cannot tell me that Sylvania, being that it was Sylvania property, that they did not have the okay to do something. Why wasn't Sylvania aware of that use permit? Somebody should have had access to that use permit. Mr. Malone was able to get it just like that. That's all I've got to say. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on toes, but it's time it stops. We're done. Our houses are destroyed in the back. You know, and Mr. Burns, when I talked to him last week, he disagreed with me. And I said, well, then you come out and look at the back of my house. We had H2O come out, the spray thing that they advertise on TV to clean homes, guaranteed. They won't touch them. There was four houses, I said. And he called back and he says, we can't guarantee that it'll come off, so we can't take the job. That's four homes, you know, because he can't guarantee it. So our homes are damaged, and they keep getting damaged. All right, thank you.
Mrs. Bryan, criminal charges are being filed. Tell me what the fines are for those each occurrence.
Up to $1,000 fine and 30 days in jail for each occurrence. And currently there are three pending.
I've got 2.5 years worth. I understand you can't go back too far, but yet we've all got criminal damage reports. I've got two that I filed this weekend.
Okay, those are the ones I do not have yet, and I will send those over with Mr. Burns tomorrow. Okay. I will, whatever was filed this weekend, I will have.
The one between the other weekend, so what, the 21st?
The 21st and the 28th.
Every week.
Right, right. I understand.
Tuesday morning, there was charges filed.
Okay.
Even though they're supposed to be closed.
Okay, I will get all the.
Monday night.
Okay. Our police chief will make sure I have all the appropriate reports.
Okay.
Would anybody else like to talk to council about this? Come on up.
My name is Jim Carr. I just have a quick question. It's maybe a legal point. If temporary restraining order has not been filed, there's been no paperwork filed, how do we file criminal charges?
They're two separate issues. A temporary restraining order is a, well, it can be a civil issue or a criminal issue. In this case, it's a civil issue. The zoning violations are provided for. Those violations are part of our criminal code. So those are proceeding, they're kind of parallel courses. One in the criminal court, in our Sylvania Municipal Court, and then this TRO will be filed for at the Lucas County Court of Common Pleas.
Okay, so when, so then you're saying basically that criminal charges then can effectively be charged as of what point in time? The day they received the letter informing them that they were.
That's correct, the zoning violation, October 7th.
Okay, so October 7th.
Yes.
So any police report from October 7th to now.
Correct.
They could be.
Correct.
Well, there's been more than three.
Okay.
There's been more than five.
I'll make sure I have them all and get them, and have our zoning administrator.
I don't know what the number is, but we've had three or four in one weekend.
Okay.
Just this past weekend.
Okay.
Would have been my guess. So from the beginning of October to now, you're saying that criminal charges.
That's correct.
When will they be filed?
That I cannot speak to. That's, once our zoning administrator brings the police reports over to the prosecutor's office, there's a process that it has to go through at the prosecutor's office. And that, within a week, typically within a week, it could be up to 2 weeks. But it doesn't change them, the charges from continuing to be filed and accruing.
Quick, one more question. Are they aware of this?
I'm sorry, who?
Is Flanagan's aware of this, that they're going to be getting charged criminally?
Yes.
Then why do they keep doing it?
That's a good question.
Why? They know they're going to get fined, they're going to get fined, yet their behavior has not changed one day. It's all fetching.
I did hear. Question on this 35-foot fence. I don't know, I know, I guess you've been back there and you've seen the back of our property. To take that up that high, it just doesn't seem like, first off, it's going to cause our homes, I'm sure, to be devalued. Not to mention the threat, because you know how close we are. If there's any kind of a storm or anything, there should be a safety issue also with that being so high. I know it's not an easy solution.
I'm not a structural engineer. I can't speak to that, but I know that whoever would install it would ensure that it was safe and that it wouldn't cause an issue. But.
Would you want that in your backyard, a 35-foot, 40-foot fence? I mean, I don't know why they can't cover it yet. I mean, I know they say in Ohio, but there's got to be a way. If not, move it inside. But why should, you know, our homes be affected with this 35-foot? The 20-foot fence is fine, there's no issues with that. But when you go another 15-foot up, that's a big change. It's something else that has to be looked at, I feel like.
Would you like to speak?
So I apologize right now for anything that's happened prior to the last 3 months.
Please tell us who you are.
My name is John Vance. I am a Sylvania resident. I do currently work at Flanagan's in Wellfield. I'm also a pastor. I'm a father of two. And I also work at First Solar. I just started working at Flanagan's as a paint wall manager roughly about 2 to 3 months ago. As for the complaints about the paintballs, all weekend long. I was there, I put in 40 hours this weekend alone, refereeing, making sure that we had a bachelor party, we had birthday parties, we just had regular parties, we also had open play. I personally refereed each and every single one of them from 8:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night. So the voice that you would have heard yelling, player, barrel come run, player, put your mask on, the whistle blowing, that would have been me, and I'm sure you can hear me because I'm a very voiceful person, all right? So again, I apologize for anything prior to, okay? But I'm gonna tell you, I can almost guarantee you this weekend and every weekend that I work, that no paintballs have gone over that fence because I watch it religiously. Now, if there has been, I can see maybe one or two or something rolling under a fence, but I can guarantee you that every meeting, every day that I start and every group that I have a zero tolerance policy for anybody shooting over those fences. I start my safety briefings with making sure that their masks are on, their barrel covers are on, and my third point is I point to everybody and I see, so you see those houses in the back there? I said, if you love the sport as much as I do, because I play, and my son, who is 12 years old, plays, and we got a whole list of people that have played, and we love the sport, okay? I said, if you love it as much as I do, you'll make sure that you don't shoot anywhere close to going over that fence. I said, I have zero tolerance for it. If I see anybody even pointing their gun up in the air that way, you will be kicked out without a refund. I promise you that's what I say. Every meeting, you can ask every person that's there. But this weekend, like I said, I understand that you guys are upset about things that have happened prior to, like I said. Me as a ref, I try to change everything because I would like everybody to enjoy the sport of paintball. Paintball is not a sport that caters to one specific gender, one specific age range, one specific race, or any of that thing. Paintball is an all-inclusive sport. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, which is the legal age to actually start playing paintball, up to 65, 70 years old, all right? Everybody plays it, everybody has a great time. In fact, I just got a text from a mother today from this last weekend that I'll read to you guys. It says, Sully and his buddies had a great time at paintball. Thanks for making it fun and a safe activity. And in fact, I just emailed him back at 7:39, so this is while I was waiting for you guys to finish up. And I said, I'm glad you guys had a great time. I'm there every weekend refereeing if you ever want to play. Very nice meeting you and your family, and I hope you guys have a great night. I have another message from a group that just came in, and they said, thank you very much for being an awesome ref and having a great weekend. The list goes on and on. We just had a football team from Timberstone that almost wasn't able to play because of the cease and desist order that I believe was that somebody had mentioned, right? 30 kids. But it wasn't just 30 kids, it was also their football coach, and it was dads and everything else. See, I understand that you guys are complaining about the paintballs being there for 2 years, but you can't tell me that in the 2 years prior to you buying the house that you didn't walk the property. So the question to Leslie here, I think, is very unfair. Would you like this on your property? I think as a homeowner myself, when I went and searched the property that I wanted to buy, I did a thorough investigation of what it was that I was moving next to, what was around me, what might be taking place.
And hey, John, stop. Yeah, you are not entitled to throw your garbage on your neighbor's property.
No,
and
right.
You know what? I don't know, you know, and don't, and the fact that you did it before doesn't mean we're going to let you do it now. Okay, it's been going, how long have you been working there?
I just started working there for roughly about 2 to 3 months.
Okay, well, it's been going on during the time you're there.
And I can promise you, sir, and like I said, I've watched that religiously. And the only reason why I stand before you guys today is to tell you.
Look, there are no excuses. Fix it. That's it. I don't want to hear, fix it.
I can't do that. That's not my job. My job is just to make sure that the players are safe.
Well, then you understand our job. You know what our job is, and we're going to do it. And
yes, sir. Sorry.
you're, to the best of your ability, you're trying to keep paintballs from going over that. However, I'm going to turn to the chief of police, who has officers to go out there to take these police reports, and I suspect, chief, that your guys can tell whether it's a new paintball or not.
Yeah, right. We make observations, take photographs, you know, file reports based on the statements of the reporting person. I don't know that we have a lot of evidence of the actual, the paintballs, you know, hitting the homes, you know, in progress, but we do collect, you know, evidence every time that we go out.
So there's a breakdown of the facts here between what you're seeing and what our police officers are reporting. So that, even though it may be just a few is more than what the documents for the zoning allow to have happen. It says no paintballs were escaped the property. Now, I've heard for the first time tonight that the 35-foot fence might not be acceptable. We're going to talk more about that. But I have been approached and said, well, the city ought to help pay for this, either for the loss of business or for the cost of the fence. I guarantee you, city taxpayer dollars are not going to go towards doing that. You seem very responsible.
I don't stand on that.
Yeah, you seem very responsible and very earnest that you're trying to stop it, but it isn't working. You need to do better. And I think a fence makes better neighbors. And I think that's what we're going to end up pushing for. But we're also going to have people going to jail pretty soon.
Well, that's not me, sir. I apologize.
Yeah.
And like I said, I apologize for the nuisance that anybody has to go through. You know, that's not why I'm here. But what I am here to do is to tell
you. He has the podium. Just
that,
wait.
Yes, I do honestly try to make sure, and I educate the kids, and I educate the adults, and everybody. Hey, look, this is a problem, and that the neighbors do find this to be a problem.
All right. And so does this city council.
Mr. Vance, just a question. How many other referees are there?
How many other referees?
Yes.
Right now, currently on staff, I have four other referees.
Okay, is it possible that some of them are not as diligent as you?
No, sir.
It's not possible?
Actually, prior to, like I said, I'm going to apologize right now, prior to me working there, I'll admit there was a referee that I honestly don't think was most diligent.
Okay, are you in charge? There, are you in charge of the referees?
I actually just started, like I said.
Okay, so you're not on their shifts when they're working, right?
No, I am now. So for the last 2 months, yes, sir, I am there every weekend except for, I think there was like the weekend of like October 9th or something. I wasn't there, but I am there every weekend. In fact, my son's there also.
So these paintballs are just magically flying over the fence without anybody seeing them. I mean, don't make yourself the victim, okay?
Right.
Don't come in here and do that.
No, I'm not trying to make myself the victim by any means.
Well, okay.
If anything, the thing that I would stress about paintball is that it really is a great community.
We get that,
and if there
okay?
If anybody that knew that, or even knew that the damage was being damaged to your house, I promise you that the players themselves would apologize and even offer to clean it up if they knew that. So, like I said, again, I just apologize, and I just want you to know that how much that the paintball and that in this area actually means to.
All right, we've got that message. Thank you for your comments. If he's got something new to say, okay, we're gonna move on from this. Legal action's being taken. Sounds like this gentleman's trying to stop it, and it's not working.
It definitely was not working.
Okay.
All right. Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I had none. Friday and Saturday, I still have paintballs from the rain Saturday on my patio.
All right.
That just bled through. They just lay there.
All right. Thank you for being here again tonight. We're going to move on in our agenda. Unless somebody in City Council wants to make another comment. I'm sorry, I didn't want to restrain you. All right. Let's move on to agenda item number 5. You have a schedule prepared by the Clerk of Council in your packet. This is to set the dates for City Council meetings and to set, it's also on this piece of paper, set the Planning Commission meeting notes. The reason we do these early, we're also going to set trick-or-treat date. So that because we have a community calendar we're putting together, so we need to get these dates established. October 31st is a Saturday. I think that's an appropriate night for trick-or-treat. In the past, we've had trouble with Friday nights because that's the night of the Ohio or the Southview-Northview football game usually, but I don't think there's any trouble putting it on a Saturday night. So what we're looking for is an approval of these dates. There are some Wednesdays you see on, or Tuesdays you see on there. Second meeting in January, the second meeting in February always fall on national holidays. We slid those to Tuesdays. Sometimes council chooses to do those on Wednesdays. We need to change them now if we're going to change them.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Frye?
You probably saw the same as I and other members of council, that, and I think Mr. Hanem actually responded back to a gentleman who had concerns about the weather on Thursday night. And that brought up, while I would not have necessarily postponed it for that particular weather, there is the possibility that weather could be a significant factor. And I was just wondering, do you as mayor have the ability to actually move and postpone trick-or-treat? And if not, should we?
People certainly assume I do. In
well, fact, I know I that. That's why I'm asking the question.
Mayors calling me to see what I was going to do. And we were carefully looking at the weather. As it turned out, there was no rain falling at 6, but it was raining hard at 7.
Right.
It seemed to me that it worked out fine. The little ones got around. We got to see them. And it did cut down on the high school kids doing the bigger routes at 7 o'clock.
Right.
We were not the only community where we were getting those. I saw the email that went out publishing all of your emails, telling people that you are up for election on Tuesday, and if you won't respond to this, how can we rely upon you to respond on other issues? You're
I'm
just going to find that. You're
I'm
always
not particularly
have
concerned about that part of it.
We had a member of the school board was among that group, by the way. But I think it turned out fine. Mr. Richardson put out something on his Facebook that said it was a great Halloween night.
It was a great time. I had a lot
of yeah, so did I.
The only question I had was whether or not you do have the ability to do that, or whether we
in
should give
you that authority.
In an emergency,
I think I have that authority.
Okay.
Who is going to deny my order, I guess? It would only, can only be city council, and you aren't together to make those last-minute decisions. But I can guarantee you they had Halloween in Maumee on Thursday night, because we said we were having it here Thursday night.
I
can show you
that.
The emails.
I believe you, Mayor. And like I say, I wouldn't have necessarily canceled because of that weather, but I could see weather that could be bad enough that you may want, that someone
it
may
can
want
be,
to postpone.
And we have done it in the past.
Okay.
And the downside, what makes me think twice before delaying Halloween, is when we've done it in the past and they don't do it in neighboring communities, those kids from the neighboring communities come here en masse to have a second trick-or-treat in
right.
our community. And that doesn't work out very well.
Understood.
The other thing, when you move it, it creates lots of problems.
Yep.
For
so it's best to have it on October 31st if we can. Mr. Sanford, do you have a comment?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just to add that if we do change, or we just always try to coordinate with the township, so the city and the township always have the same.
We have to do the same, because people don't know where the boundary line is.
Right.
They were getting the same calls.
Yep.
The township.
It
so
was in play.
Do
I think
need
we
a motion?
Made the right call. We need a motion to approve this calendar, and I think we can put in the same motion to approve trick-or-treat night.
So moved.
Second.
Any further comments? It's been moved and seconded to set the regular council meeting schedule and October 31st as 6 to 7:30 as our trick-or-treat evening. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item 6. You have the 2020 budget in front of you. This is a first reading. You can make a final passage of it tonight. You can make a final passage of it in 2 weeks. Or you can wait for a third reading and pass final passage on the first meeting in December. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce the first reading of ordinance number 92-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. To make appropriations for current expenditures and other expenditures of the City of Sylvania for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2020.
Second.
Okay, no further action is needed at this time. Why don't we go ahead and vote on the measure to read by title only, so I don't have to do it in the future. All in favor of the motion to read by title only, say aye. Aye. Opposed? So that motion carries. The motion did not include a motion to waive the second and third readings. All right. We'll have this back on the agenda for second reading and possible passage in 2 weeks. Moving on to agenda item 7, Lexipol Service Agreement. Chief Snore, tell us about this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've been looking at the Lexipol service for a few years now, and the primary reason that we'd like to enter into the service agreement is the varied mission that our police officers and police officers across the state face, the different types of calls that we have, and the complexity that can expand in an incident requires a very clear and concise policy and procedure. Policy and procedures that has been legally reviewed, and the way the case law changes on a regular basis, maintaining policies and procedures in accordance with state law can sometimes be difficult. Lexipol has been around since about 2003. They service 519 public safety entities in the state of Ohio, and we've done a demo with them, had a chance to talk to other agencies in the area that use the service, and would recommend that we enter into this agreement so that we can update our, currently we have about 130 policies that manage our police operations, and this service will review and update those policies and then maintain that service. And probably one of the biggest benefits is that this is a web-based system so that officers can access the information in the field on a tablet, on their cell phone, or even in the cars on their MDT terminals. So it is a state-of-the-art service that will help our officers to make decisions in the field.
Chief, question. The $20,000 is to update the policies. So for 2000, presuming this is approved, for 2021, would that 20 go through again? Or is that a one-time shot?
It's a one-time shot.
And then
shot.
It's 11,850 from that point on, or whatever the new year would be.
Right. The 11,850 would be an annual service fee. The initial implementation, basically, we have about 130 of our own policies and procedures which have been developed over the last, let's say, 30 years. They will take all of that data, and they'll work with us every week until it's done over the next year to update. Their legal team will revise and update all of our information, and then we'll work with them. I'll actually be the rep from our police department that will be meeting with their legal team, over the internet or through some type of teleconference, and we'll work to update all those policies. And they'll also make recommendations on additional policies that we should consider based on state law and best practices in the profession.
And this is Branning. Do the policies that are changed have to be passed by council, or is that an internal administrative function? Okay, that's what I thought you were going to say. I just double checked.
Chief or Toby, is this in the budget?
Well, there was we had $40,000 set aside for capital expense for equipment and services.
So this would be included.
We would
in
be
that.
Using. Funds from that were approved for 2019.
Correct. Where are these policies maintained presently?
In a binder.
In a single binder.
Well, we have probably about 15 of them around the station, but it's a hard copy system that we would like to bring into modern practice.
And how have we been updating?
Well, our critical policies such as use of force, pursuits, de-escalation, mental health response, missing persons, those are some of the ones I've updated and rewritten myself in the last, let's say, year. But basically, one of our staff has to take the time to do the research and then physically do that updating. And it's a stumbling block for us because, again, we have about 130. There might be some out there that we could glean from this process that we don't currently have, but it's a pretty tedious task of maintaining those and keeping up with updates from the courts as far as search and seizure, things like that.
Is there any review of these policies?
That's what we're There is some through like the Ohio, the International Chiefs Association or the Ohio Chiefs, but it's a little, it's, this, the reason I'm interested in this service is that's what they do full-time. They have a legal team that reviews based on Ohio law, and they do the work that they maintain and monitor the threats out there that could be, you know, legal threats to an entity and pass that information on. And, you know, probably one of the biggest things I like about this particular service is they offer monthly training based on our policies and procedures. So when the officers show up for work, they can take a do a review training and then take a test based on our policy and procedure, which that would, the man hours to develop those tests on a monthly basis with our current staff could be cumbersome.
Is this an Ohio-based service or is this a national service?
It's a national service. They have 3,700 agencies nationwide, but 519 here in Ohio alone. Ohio is one of their concentrated states.
Do any of our immediate, any of our regional communities use this?
Sylvania Township Fire Department, Sylvania Township Police Department, Maumee PD is currently implementing it. Ottawa Hills is implementing it. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Like I said, there's police and fire total 519 in the state of Ohio.
Okay, are these, and these policies are solely internal to the Sylvania Police Department?
Well, right, they customize the policies that we get back based on our current policy once they've been updated and reviewed by their legal team.
But I mean, they're not public policies. They're not publicly available to the community.
Anything that we document and publish, it will be a public record. People will be able to, and that's something that most agencies publish their policies and procedures on their agency website. We don't currently, we don't have the setup for that at this point, but it's a recommendation that I would make as far as what our policies and procedures aren't a secret to the public.
So when we're done with this, these policies will be available on our website?
They could be. I definitely advocate for that.
They will be?
Well, certainly. I mean, if unless there was any concern by the...
Well, that's what I'm asking. I mean, is there...
I haven't gotten to that point yet. We've got a lot of work. Probably going to take 6 to 9 months to update all these policies with the help of this company. Every one of those steps has to be reviewed by myself, so it will be a big task.
You know, I give the chief and the administration credit for pursuing this because, I mean, clearly in many quarters, transparency is a best practice of government right now, and to be not only create the illusion, but the reality of transparency and the ability for citizens to access data and information online seems to be a fairly well accepted practice here. In many ways, I'm sitting here thinking, why haven't we done this already? Because to have our regulations that affect the behavior of our police officers to be kept in binders just does not seem to be the way we want to do business. So I guess I commend the chief and the mayor for bringing this to us.
This is an initiative of our new chief, Chief Snorr, and I fully support this measure and ask for your approval.
All right.
We do have an ordinance to do that. You have in your council packets, Ordinance 93-2019, authorizing this expenditure. It'll be $32,100 for the first year, and then will be $11,850 per year as we move forward. I'm sure it'll get adjusted some every year.
Okay, just to clarify, the $20,000 is in the capital allocation. Is the $11,850 is that going to come out of there to this year?
We're going to pay this before the end of the year. There are 2 months, or the remaining 2 months. I'm hoping to get going on this as soon as possible, so that for 19, that they're basically waiving the fee for 19. So this is going to be a 2020 cost, the implementation and the service. All this, that's the total amount, and that'll take us through until January of 2021.
Okay, so we're going to. I'm just wondering what the budget is. Toby, you know where this is coming?
This is coming out of They budgeted in the police department for some equipment in 2019.
Yeah.
Is not being used. That money is not being used.
Okay.
They're going to use that money for this.
Got
it. No money in the 2020 budget for this. But what the chief is saying, there's not going to be any expense in 2020.
Because you'll front end pay it.
We're going to pay for it now.
Okay, got it. So we'll pay it all this year and nothing next year. And then in 2021, we would have a...
That $11,000 is a budget for it.
Okay, got it. Okay.
We're putting, we're saving the funds that are budgeted next year for new cameras in the vehicles and perhaps...
Right.
Cameras for the officers.
I know we discussed that.
Yes. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 93-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Lexipol LLC to provide a law enforcement policy manual at a cost of $32,100, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 93-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 93-2019.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 93-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 93-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8, we've received notice of a new D1 beer for premises consumption and wine and certain prepackaged mix for Peace, Love, and Pottery Studio. That's over at 6750 West Sylvania Avenue. That's adjacent to the former Anderson's Market. That business was purchased by a new owner recently, and apparently it will be enhanced with a D1 license. What's that?
It's one strip mall over.
Oh, it is? Okay.
That's over by the Planet Fitness. Kevin, yeah. Looking confused. It's one.
All right. My apologies for that.
Right in the neighborhood, right in Mayor.
Okay. There was another one out there by Anderson's. There's something you could do there as well. I'm sorry. I had the wrong address for it. So thank you for the correction. Chief, you got any comments about this?
Oh, I've reviewed the application, and we did our local checks, and I don't have any objections or have any call to request a hearing.
Everything's groovy.
There you go.
All right. The appropriate motion would be not to request a local hearing. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion not to request a hearing for the new liquor permit for Peace, Love, and Pottery Studio, LLC.
Second.
And moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this new D1 license. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this could be a popular spot. We'll see. I hope it works out well for them. Moving on to agenda item 9, we have some committee reports to hear from. First, Mr. Hanum from your Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting held at 6 o'clock tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did have a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting at 6 o'clock this evening. It was a discussion and a presentation by the current property owners and the developers on PD1 2019. Referred to, I think they're calling it the Sylvania Lakes, I'm sorry, Sylvania Place Apartments. This was simply an informational meeting. We heard from Tom and Rutger Brakey, who are the developers, and Todd Berman, who is one of the principals of the owner, talk about the two issues, both the change in land use that's proposed by changing this from commercial to residential and the type of residential apartment building that is going to be, that they intend to build here. They were also accompanied by legal counsel Jerry Parker, who was very complimentary of the administration and the assistance that he received in preparing the application and preparing for the upcoming Planning Commission meeting. The detail, I won't go into the details of the anticipated construction, and obviously, but I will note that council took no action tonight and didn't intend to, that this matter has been referred to the Planning Commission for review and recommendation and is on the their agenda for next Wednesday. And the matter will then be subject, assuming the Planning Commission chooses to proceed, the matter will then be subject to a public hearing. And only after that public hearing will council be requested to ask to act on this matter. The presentation was completed and the annexation committee meeting was adjourned at 6:30 p.m. this evening. And that's my report.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from members of council? If none, we'll move on to 9B, a report of the Employee and Community Relations Committee held this evening at 6:30.
Well, actually 6:37,
okay.
But
had
a little trouble clearing the room. But we did, in fact, meet for a single purpose, which is to move along the process to select an appointee for the Board of Zoning Appeals. We'd like to get that done before the end of the year. Mrs. Bucher publicly noticed the available opening during much of October. Deadline was November 1st. The current individual who holds that seat and who's up for reappointment chose not to apply. We had three applicants received by the November 1st deadline. Those were John Healy, Danny Royer, and Matthew Snell. Committee decided that it was in the best interest of the process to interview each of the three of them in a public meeting and then make a recommendation to council, ideally to bring forward to council for approval on our next meeting on the 18th. We have tentatively identified the early evenings of November 11th or 12th to hold those. I'll be in touch with the three individuals tomorrow.
12th or 13th.
12th, 13th, that's right. The 11th is an important date that we don't want to touch. Thank you. And so we will make Ms. Bucher aware of the actual date when we talk to the three of them and have some agreement on the time. In addition to that, Ms. Capellini raised a question about whether we have an appointment to Sagard this year, which we are not aware if we do or we don't. I'll pursue that and brief the committee next week.
All right.
Very good. Meeting adjourned at 6:45.
Thank you. Moving on to added agenda item 9C, 9/11 dispatch consolidation is currently in the safety committee. There's a meeting scheduled for 6:30 this Wednesday night, and Mr. Fry, you wanted to talk about it some more tonight.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Based on some conversations I had with yourself and members of the administrative staff, my understanding is this correct, Mr. Aller, that Lucas County would like to vote on the potential consolidation on the 18th?
Yes, they've scheduled a meeting of the 911 Planning Committee at 9 o'clock in the morning on November 8th.
If you will recall, we were going to have the Safety Committee meeting on Wednesday evening, giving the opportunity for community input. And then our role and responsibility would then be to vote for a representative for the municipal silo, is the best term I can come up with off the top of my head, to determine whether we would vote for the representative that would be positively inclined towards consolidation or whether we would be voting for the representative who would be against consolidation. And that was going to occur on the 18th, but since the county is going to have the meeting on the 18th before our meeting in the evening on the 18th, that creates a problem. The week between, which is next week, I'm out all week out of town all week, so I will not be available. So my suggestion is, if we, as members of City Council and as the city, are going to have voice in this activity, that we would need to schedule a council meeting, and my suggestion would be that that would be on the same evening immediately following the Safety Committee meeting.
Which is two nights from tonight.
Correct.
Scheduled for 6:30 in the council chambers. All it takes to schedule a special council meeting is 24-hour notice, and for it to be declared by the mayor or the president of council.
Correct.
I support Mr. Frye's position that due to the county scheduling their meeting earlier in the day to ours, it seems like we ought to be present and take a position one way or the other. According to the tally that I've been given last week, there have been three votes for Mayor Atkinson, the mayor of White House, for consolidation, and four votes for Mayor Carr, the mayor of Maumee, against consolidation. Harborview and Sylvania have not yet taken a position.
Just a point, not to throw confusion into this, the point of confusion, what happens if Mayor Carr is not re-elected? Will this take place during the remainder of his term?
He's still mayor through the end of the year, and would be our representative for the meeting on the 18th.
Okay.
Just as in Sylvania, that you serve out your term to the end of the year.
Got it.
So, Mr. Mayor, I would suggest, since the meeting in question for safety is, as you mentioned, scheduled for 6:30, that we would schedule the special council meeting at 7:30. I think an hour should be sufficient.
Why don't we schedule it at 7 and we'll see how.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait around.
No, we could start late, right?
We've done always start late. That's a good point. Like we did tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's fine. Let's do it. Is 7 o'clock okay, Mayor, with you, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is.
Do we have any planned presentations for that?
Mr. Aller, did
we'll have information on what the consolidation would, how that would affect our operations and how some things that we would have to adjust.
Beyond the report that you issued us?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to have a presentation from you. Chief.
Yeah.
Do we have any other presentations scheduled?
I was not planning on any other presentations.
Okay.
I would expect some of our dispatchers and former chief dispatchers to be here interested in your safety committee meeting.
I understand.
They may wish to address you.
Okay. But we don't have anything else scheduled. Okay.
I'm sure that the representative of the county would be thrilled to come, but you've already heard from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
All right.
Do we need a motion?
I'd like to have a motion directing us to schedule a special meeting.
I'll make the motion to schedule a special council meeting for Wednesday, November 6th, starting at 7 p.m.
Second.
In these council chambers.
In these council chambers.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll have the clerk post that meeting. Any other committee business to report on at this time? Turning to page 2, agenda item 10, any committee referrals to be made at this time? Before we move on to the executive session, I'd like to draw your attention to the two informational items. First, the income tax report is there, and the good news is holding through October. You can see both the percentage and the dollar increase over to the right bottom. And also your third quarter management reports are there, and there was another one from informational technology that was placed in front of you tonight. I encourage you to keep your notebooks up to date. I know I refer to them when I write several of my mayor's messages. With that, I would like a motion to go into executive session, committee of the whole executive session.
So moved.
Second.
The clerk, please call the roll.
Mrs. Capolini?
Yes.
Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 7-0.
after we have to ask, this meeting is to discuss possible litigation. There will be no action taken by council during the meeting, and we expect no action to be taken after we come out of executive session. This is information for city council members. I need to ask everyone in the council chambers to leave for this executive session. You're welcome to stay, but there's not going to be any action taken after the meeting. Our next meeting will be 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, November the 18th, and encourage anyone registered and able to get out to vote tomorrow.
Mr. Mayor, these young women had...
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Vote is 7-0.